From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy invites the social investment community to Indonesia. Former Minister Susi Pujastuti fears major foreign fishers will dominate locals. Now the news in detail. Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Angela Tanusudipyo, invited the social investment community to participate in developing the perspective. In her statement in Jakarta on Sunday, June 14, she said that the government needs support from various parties, including the social investment community, to encourage the development of the tourism sector and the local creative economy and increase the business capacity of micro, small and medium enterprises, and stimulate the affected sectors by rebuilding a conducive business ecosystem. Angela also remarked that the COVID-19 pandemic provides a challenge for all sectors in a bid to survive, including in the tourism sector and the creative economy, which is mostly filled by MSMEs. Former Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti criticized the ministry's new rules to be introduced lack any restrictions on fishing equipment and ship capacity operating in Indonesian waters on Sunday, June 14. The Maritime Affairs and Fisheries new rules annul any restrictions for vessels weighing a maximum of 200 gross tons cantrang, a type of Danish sign net, and push signs pulled by two vessels. She perceived that the new rules may possibly allow foreign fishing vessels to operate again over Indonesian waters as the restrictions are legalized again and dominate local fishermen. Susi Pujastuti also fears that this will see the domination of foreign vessels as the country experienced prior to November 2014. The ongoing global pandemic of novel coronavirus disease COVID-19 has forced the Indonesian government to cancel the convening of an international art and cultural night entitled Indonesian Channel, due to be hosted by West Sumatra Province in August. Head of the West Sumatra Tourism Office, Nofrial, said that the Indonesian Channel, which marks the closing of this year's Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarships Program, is a special event for West Sumatra, because some 140 youth from 70 countries would perform. The youth were the awardees of the scholarship program in which they would perform at the Arts and Cultural Night to show the Indonesian cultural heritage that they had learned from local art communities in 7 provinces. Thanks to the IACS program that the Indonesian Foreign Ministry has consistently been organizing since 2003, these selected youth had been given opportunity to learn the arts and culture of genuine Indonesian heritage for around 3 months. Now we move to international news. Shops in England selling non-essential goods reopened on Monday, June 15, for the first time in almost 3 months. retailers have had to introduce strict safety measures and the high street experience will be very different. Amid fears about the health of the UK economy, getting a key part of the service sector running again is vital. But retail expert Warren Sharps were unlikely to see any immediate relief. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has urged people to shop with confidence. He said that he was very optimistic about stores reopening, although acknowledged that retailers did not know whether there will be a huge wave of customers or a trickle. The unlocking comes as face coverings become compulsory when traveling on public transport in England from Monday. Children under the age of 11 will be exempt, and the rules might be waived for people who have a legitimate health reason for not wearing one. However, face coverings in shops will not be mandatory, with retailers hoping their introduction of an array of other safety measures will be sufficient. Anyone traveling on public transport in England must wear a face covering from Monday under a new rule. More than 3,000 extra staff, including police officers, are being deployed at stations to make sure people comply. Passengers without a covering will be asked to wear one, or will face being refused on board or fined £100. People with certain health conditions, disabled people and children under the age of 11 will be exempt from the rule. In the coming days, hundreds of thousands of free coverings will be handed out at railway stations. The government says masks can be homemade, such as a scarf or a bandana, as well as on transport. All hospital visitors and outpatients also have to wear masks. Europe's solar orbiter Probe makes its first close pass of the Sun on Monday, tracking by at a distance of just over 77 million kilometers. SOLO was launched in February and is on a mission to understand what drives our star's dynamic behavior. The close pass, known as perihelion, puts the probe between the orbits of Venus and Mercury. In the coming years, SOLO will go nearer still, closing to within 43 million kilometers of Sun on occasions. As it stands today, only 5 other missions have dived deeper into the inner solar system: Mariner 10, Helios 1 and 2, Messenger and Parker solar probe. SOLO is a European Space Agency or ESA craft that was assembled in the UK by the aerospace company Airbus. The last item, Russia and Egypt will hold joint air defense drills in 2021. Chief of the Russian Air Defense Forces, Lieutenant General Alexander Leonov, highlighted good communication between Russian and Egyptian servicemen during the 2019 drills, explaining it with the fact that the vast majority of Egyptian officers had completed military training in Russia. The first joint Russian-Egyptian air defense exercises, A Row of Friendship 2019, were held in Egypt last year. Next year, the drills will be held in Russia. The first joint air defense exercises were conducted on the territory of the Egyptian Air Defense Tactical Training Center from 26 October to 7 November, with over 100 Russian anti-aircraft gunners participating. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Efforts to Invent COVID-19 Antidote. As of April 12, 2020, the corona or COVID-19 virus pandemic has spread to more than 200 countries in the world. The number of cases of infection has reached more than 1.7 million, with more than 100,000 deaths. While the number of patients who managed to recover is more than 400,000 people. Of the cases that occurred in various countries, there are 5 countries that reported the highest number of coronavirus infections. Above 100,000 cases, namely the United States, Spain, Italy, France, and Germany. In Indonesia, as of June 14, 2020, the number of COVID-19 cases has reached more than 36,000 with a total recovery of more than 4,000 patients and more than 2,100 people die. This number cannot be said to be small,
considering the increasing number of cases every day. Even on Wednesday, June 10, 2020, the number of COVID-19 patients in Indonesia rose by more than 1,200 people. The Indonesian government efforts to impose a variety of policies, ranging from social distancing to large-scale social restriction in some areas with high COVID-19 cases, to urging people to implement health protocols, are not enough to control the spread of the COVID-19 virus. Other more effective methods are needed, namely finding vaccine and special drugs to combat the COVID-19. Apparently, the result of efforts to find COVID-19 antidote will be getting closer. After conducting various research, a team from the Stem Cell Research and Development Center of Erlangga University in Surabaya, East Java, invented 5 combination of drug regimen derived from drugs that have been circulating in the market and have the potential to be a special drug to the COVID-19 patients. Researchers at Erlangga University, Dr. Purwati, along with the National Intelligence Agency and the COVID-19 Handling National Task Force, continue to conduct research to update COVID-19 healing prescriptions. She said that she was conducting research related to drug combination regimen and also effective types of stem cells. The regimen is the composition of the type and amount of drugs as well as the frequencies of drugs administration as a treatment therapy. Indeed, it is not only Indonesia that is trying to find an antidote to the COVID-19 virus. Director of the World Health Organization, WHO, General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, escorted by CNBC page on Monday, said that research into developing vaccines and drugs to fight the COVID-19 had been accelerated. According to him, more than 70 countries and 20 institutions joined WHO for research trials on effective treatment and developing vaccine. Hopefully, the efforts made by researchers from Indonesia and various countries in the world can soon produce results so that more COVID-19 patients can be recovered. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
In our regular program, Today in History, we start from an event on June 15, 1954, when UEFA was established in Basel, Switzerland. The Union of European Football Associations, or UEFA, is the administrative body for associations of football, futsal, and beach soccer in Europe, although several member states are primarily or entirely located in Asia. UEFA was established on June 15, 1954, in Basel, Switzerland, after consultation among Italy, France, and Belgium. The association is one of six continental confederations of International Federation of Football Association, or FIFA. UEFA consists of 54 national association members. It holds competitions among the clubs and countries, including UEFA European Championship, UEFA Champions League, UEFA European, and UEFA Super Cup. Next event is that in 2001, Shanghai Cooperation Organization was declared by the People's Republic of China, Russia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan. Shanghai Cooperation Organization, or SCO, is an organization among countries in Eurasia's region, which consists of the People's Republic of China, Russia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan. Except Uzbekistan, earlier other countries were members of Shanghai 5, which was established in 1996. SCO was declared on June 15, 2001, after Uzbekistan joining in. The organization aims to strengthen cooperation among the countries in the field of border, economy, and culture. The last event is on Asian Dengue Day. Every June 15th is commemorated as Asian Dengue Day. The day was initiated in the 19th Asian Summit in Hanoi, Vietnam on October 30th, 2010, and Indonesia became the forerunner of the day on June 15th, 2011. Jakarta's declaration against dengue blood fever, or DBD, was agreed by 11 Asian countries to strengthen regional cooperation and commitment in a bid to handle the dengue. And listener, that was today in history.
Oh begitu bermakna. Kini ku tahu bahwa dirimu di sini lengkapiku.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, the next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Here is My Indonesia today. Tuttling government prepares additional stimulus for industries affected by COVID-19 pandemic. The Indonesian government is preparing additional incentive or stimulus for the industrial sector affected by COVID-19 pandemic to revive the enthusiasm of businesses and to drive the wheels of the national economy by applying the set health protocols. Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita, in his statement in Jakarta on Thursday, said that the additional incentives included relief payments or electricity subsidies for industries affected by COVID-19 pandemic. In these regards, he has sent a proposal to the state electricity company PLN. The proposal is related to eliminating the minimum cost for using 40 hours of electricity consumption, including for premium industrial customers who use 233 hours of electricity consumption. This policy is proposed for the subscription period from April 1st to December 31st, 2020. It is expected that the industry can pay according to the amount of electricity usage. The amount of stimulus needed is 1.85 trillion rupiah over 9 months. Another incentive is to postpone payment of 50% of PLN's bills for 6 months, from April to September 2020, with guaranteed installments in the form of demand deposits backwards for 12 months. It is also proposed that the late payment penalty be eliminated. Furthermore, Minister Agus said the government was reviewing incentive in the form of eliminating value-added tax or VAT for local raw materials for exports, postponing VAT payments for 90 days without fines, as well as temporary release of income tax installment. The granting of additional tax breaks for the industrial sector will complement other incentives previously released by the government. He has also proposed credit restructuring and working capital stimulus. This incentive will be provided with a number of criteria, such as a track record of taxes and credit installments, having good business prospects, employment, heavy impact of COVID-19, and maximizing the use of domestic raw materials. With these efforts, it is hoped that the industry will continue to grow and the national economy will continue to be maintained on a positive trend. In addition, the government seeks to encourage domestic market consumption by increasing utilization through the implementation of the domestic component level, both in the ministries and institutions, including the state-owned enterprises. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Welcome to the new normal. Now, we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere, Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear a mask everywhere. Always keep your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
RRI Was Office, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Bias Tugel Beach in Bali. Stay tuned. Bali is a tourism destination which is well known not only in Indonesia, but also abroad. In addition to enjoying various Balinese cultures, most tourists come to Bali to enjoy the beauty of its nature, especially its beaches. If you want to visit Bali and look for calm beach, there is Bias Tugel Beach. The beach is still natural and it is rarely visited by tourists. The name of Bias Tugel comes from Balinese language, which consists of words of bias, meaning sand, and tugel, which means being cut. This tourism object is like a piece of beach with white sand, which is not quite white. Its coastline is around 150 meters long. The right and left side of this beach is bordered with rocks. Those rocks make this tourism object be separated from other beaches, thereby the atmosphere at this beach is so calm. There are various interesting activities which can be conducted at the beach, such as sunbathing, swimming, snorkeling, diving, surfing, or only soaking at a small lagoon at the reef area of Bias Tugel Beach. Bias Tugel Beach stretches at Padang Bai area, Karang Asem Regency, Bali Province. It takes around 2 until 2.5 hours to go there from Denpasar by motor vehicles. There is no public transportation, so we suggest you to rent a motorcycle if you want to go there. And you do not need to buy an entrance ticket to enjoy the beach. But you cannot stay at night in here because there is no lodging. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Bias Tugel Beach in Bali. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
banyak tanya, mengapa kini kau
listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Check Out Dari Hotel or check out from hotel. Listen to this conversation about check out dari hotel, which means check out from hotel. The conversation is between Kevin and the hotel receptionist.
Siang, Bu. Ini kunci kamar saya.
Selamat siang, Pak. Baik, apakah Bapak ingin check out sekarang?
Iya, Bu.
Baik, Pak. Mohon tunggu sebentar.
Now I'm going to introduce the vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Kunci kamar, which means room key. Tunggu, which means to wait. Ini kunci kamar saya, which means here is my key room. Apa Bapak ingin check out sekarang? Apa Bapak ingin check out sekarang? Which means, do you want to check out now? Saya ingin check out sekarang. Saya ingin check out sekarang. Which means, yes, I want to check out now. Baik, Pak. Baik, Pak, which means, alright, sir. Mohon tunggu sebentar. Mohon tunggu sebentar. Which means, please wait a moment. In the conversation, Kevin says, ini kunci kamar saya, which means, this is my room key. When he will check out from hotel. To check out from hotel, you also can say, saya ingin check out, which means, I want to check out. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Siang, Bu. Ini kunci kamar saya.
Selamat siang, Pak. Baik, apakah Bapak ingin check out sekarang?
Iya, Bu.
Baik, Pak. Mohon tunggu sebentar.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present a Keroncong song entitled Tanam Padi. Indonesia is an agricultural country where its people mostly live from farming. That situation was composed by S. Budimin into the Keroncong song Tanam Padi. Rice is one of staple foods of Indonesian people. The song tells a story of prosperity of Indonesian soil that should be grateful. Water of the river flows among high mountains, then irrigates fields so that rice plants growing fertile. The farmers work happily to welcome a happy tomorrow. That was a glance of lyrics of the song Tanam Padi. Listener, let's listen to Keroncong song Tanam Padi by Retno Handayani. Enjoy the song.
Hasil swadaya. rakyat adil makmur, damai sentosa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, it is time for me to sign off now. keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. See you on the next English program.